All right, welcome to Brighton Broadcast News from Monday, May 22nd, 2023. Mike Adams here. I thank you for joining me. Very interesting times, in many ways disturbing times, but also some exciting times. Over the weekend, I was able to connect with quite a few really amazing people, and I carried out several interviews in person at an event in Central Texas. I'm going to be bringing you probably a couple of those interviews here in today's podcast. It's audio only. And it was somewhat inspiring that there are so many great people who are actually moving to Central Texas on purpose, or doesn't have to be Central Texas. Some people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, other people in the Houston area, but you get the idea. So many families. I interviewed one family, actually, a father and his three sons called the Texas Boys. And I'd like to play that interview for you here later. But they moved from the Northeast and got small amount of acreage and homesteaded, started with nothing, including no knowledge of how to live in the country. And that was several years ago. And now they have a greenhouse, and now the boys are building fences, and they're doing their own food, and they're living more and more off grid. And it's a pretty amazing and inspiring story. And I'm finding a lot of people like that are coming to Central Texas, which is where I'm based as well, loosely speaking. And Central Texas, you know, I've never actually called for people to move to Central Texas. You know, live where it makes sense for you. But a lot of people are choosing Central Texas on purpose. And it is it's a great choice for a lot of people. Now, in addition to some of those interviews, I want to mention we are sponsoring an upcoming event put on by Doug Billings, and he's the host of Right Side Broadcast, by the way. Doug Billings, and his event is called the Determined Patriotism Conference, and you can find out about that at the website determinedpatriotismconference.com. I know those are all three long words. This takes place June 9th and 10th of this year, you know, coming right up here in a little over 2 weeks. June 9th and 10th in Branson, Missouri, which is where I spoke previously with Steve Quayle at his conference a little while back. But tickets are available. General Michael Flynn is going to be there. Of course, Doug Billings as well. Brighton will be sponsoring the event, and I understand will be streaming the event in some way, although that I don't have the final details yet. Mike Lindell will be there from MyPillow. Devin Nunez, the CEO of Trump Media, but also former congressman. Ann Vandersteel, also a Brighton TV reporter, and her own, you know, analyst and newscaster, amazing. Let's see, Mel Kay will be there as well. Love Mel Kay. She does incredible work. Friar James Altman will be there. Alex Stone, Thomas Renz, Dr. Jane Ruby, another Brighton TV host, and Christy Hutcherson will also be there, and additional people as well. You can check it out at determinedpatriotismconference.com, and I think just go on there if you want tickets. We're not compensated in any way. In fact, we're helping to fund the event through our sponsorship because we really want to support what Doug Billings is doing. It's quite extraordinary. It's amazing. And another sponsor of the event is Catholics for Catholics, by the way. In God We Vote. That's the slogan of that group. Pretty good stuff. So if you're anywhere near Branson, Missouri, which is kind of southwest Missouri, not far from Arkansas, your driving distance, check this out. I think it's they've got a limit of 400 in-person attendees. Check that out. Should be lots of fun. I won't be there in person anyway, but I will be there through Brighton sponsorship, you know, in spirit to help support the event. So, yeah, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. We see the best and the worst of humanity emerging and amplifying in parallel. You look around, you can see the worst, craziest stuff going on, but you can also see how it's in some ways bringing out the best of humanity, bringing out the best of what people are capable of. Now, over the weekend, one bad thing that happened, of course, what sad thing was the death of Dr. Rashid Buttar. Dr. Buttar, and I recorded a separate podcast about that in loving memory of Dr. Buttar. I consider him a friend and fellow colleague and fellow champion for human freedom and health freedom and truth, real justice, and so on. And he impacted the lives of millions of people through his work and his truth-telling and his medical protocols and his advanced medicine conferences and so on. If you want to hear that tribute to him, it's on my channel at brighttown.com. My channel is HR Report, of course, Health Ranger Report. But, you know, psychologically, I would just say that the death of Dr. Buttar has really saddened me substantially. It has, I've had a heavy heart since learning of his passing. And it's a reminder that this is a very real war. And some of the people we love will be taken out. They will be killed. Dr. Buttar, I believe, based on rational evidence and talking with people who are close to him, Dr. Buttar was hit with a bioweapon. And this same bioweapon, or perhaps a similar one, has been deployed against many other people in this space. I know that, well, I guess I don't want to mention any specific names, but I know a lot of people whose names you would know who were severely sickened because they were hit with these biological weapons. Most people survived it, and Dr. Buttar was on the way back, and they must have hit him with something that was very one of the newer strains that no one had been exposed to, something very devastating. I think a chimeric combination of, you know, HIV, spike protein, you know, some kind of venom peptides, whatever combination they put in there to really devastate people. And they took his life with that. And it's very sad. And it's also a warning that I think that that's, it's probably a strong indication that this is what they're going to roll out to the population at large. So the next plandemic that is coming is going to be a biological weapon that is far more deadly with a much, much higher kill rate than what COVID was, which turned out to be very low, even though, you know, they tried to scare us at first with a lot of death numbers. It turns out those numbers, in retrospect, those numbers were just hospital homicide. They were murdering people in the hospitals, you know, with the ventilators and so on. And we know that now, as a matter of fact. You probably heard the secret audio recordings, or once secret, through attorney Thomas Renz, who I interviewed about that. And we played the audio, nurses ordered to murder patients on an entire floor of a hospital. And we have many other cases of that. Hospitals being paid $500,000 for every patient they murdered, as long as they called it COVID. So the COVID that we just lived through was mild compared to what's coming next. I don't even know what to call it. You know, Satan spike protein or something, SSP, the Fauci freezer special, the FFS, or maybe with this Fauci, it would have to be the SS, the Fauci SS, you know, the medical Nazis. But whatever it is, it's going to be devastating. And the only thing that's going to keep us alive, I believe, is turning to our own community reliance, sharing knowledge with each other, having support for each other with local food, natural medicine, saving seeds, you know, teaching people how to grow food, having local communications and the ability to support each other with off-grid money. Maybe it's gold or silver or crypto. Whatever it is, we're going to have to support each other in a very deliberate and demanding way, let's say. It's going to demand a lot of us, but we're going to have to support each other based on what's coming. And the reason I even mention all of that is to give you the backdrop for what the next piece of news here that is relevant to all of this. So just remember, this is a real war. People are being taken out. Not everybody's going to survive. And those who wish to survive You must get prepared. You must be ready to live off-grid. You must be ready for the banking system to collapse. You must be ready for World War III. You must be ready for nuclear terrorism and all of these scenarios. And now moving forward with the news that's relevant to all of that is the fact that in the war in Ukraine, the city of Bakhmut has fallen to Russian control over the weekend. So Ukraine has lost control of that key city, a city that I think took almost a year for Russia. Maybe it was 9 or 10 months. I don't know the exact timeline, but Russia has been fighting to take that city for a very long time. Zelensky had promised that Russia would never take Bakhmut. And granted, the Ukrainian soldiers put up one heck of a defense, one heck of a fight. And with the help of NATO weapons, of course, the Russians were slowed for a very long time. Well, but whatever the case may be, Russia now has full control over Bakhmut. And they've named it a different name, a Russian name now instead of the Ukrainian name, but I don't recall what their name is. I'm just going to call it Bakhmut because that's what everybody knows. So we knew this was coming. What's extraordinary about the fall of Bakhmut is that the entire Western world, including Zelensky and Ukrainian government and the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Biden regime, the UK, all of them, they all deny that Bakhmut has been taken by the Russians. They just completely deny it. I mean, we are living in a fractured psychological delusional reality on the part of these Western lunatics. Just like they think a man can be a woman or a man can give birth to a child, they think that Bakhmut has not fallen to the Russians. They can make it up. You know, they can say it. They can say that Ukraine still controls Bakhmut, but actually the Russians control Bakhmut. But the level of denial is astonishing. It's indicative of the sickness, the raw mental illness of the United States, NATO, Zelensky, you know, the Ukrainian government, and so on. These people are living in a delusional fairy tale land that is dominated by massive mental illness, you know, way beyond pushing transgenderism onto children and mutilating children. They are losing a war and they claim they're winning. You know, it's like that Monty Python skit. You know, was it a scratch? You know, when the Black Knight is getting his arms and legs chopped off. I forgot all the quotes, but you know what I'm talking about. Well, you know, Russia has taken Bakhmut and NATO's war against Russia is failing. As a result, NATO is about to invoke some very desperate escalation measures that will have massive implications for all of us, which is really one of the main points here today. So one of these is that Biden is now saying that F-16s are going to be made available to Ukraine. So American fighter jets are going to be deployed directly against Russia in Ukraine. You got that? Now, this is an escalation. This is directly involving the United States of America in the war, direct confrontation with Russia. Russia has amazing anti-air equipment, by the way, so I think a lot of F-16s are going to get shot down. Who will be shot down in those F-16s? They will be, for the most part, American pilots, because there aren't Ukrainian pilots for F-16s that have any kind of sufficient training or experience to be deployed in combat. Now, I know that there are a few Ukrainian pilots that are being trained in the United States to fly F-16s, a very small number. That small number will not last very long. And then American pilots will be asked to fly these F-16s. And the way it will work is that these pilots will have to resign from the military, and then they will be hired on as contractors. So they're not officially American soldiers, but they really are, you know. And then when they get shot down, guess what? Even if they survive being shot down and they get taken prisoner by the Russians, they have no wartime protections because they're not a soldier fighting under the American flag, in which case they would have some protections. Rather, they're a mercenary, and Russia can simply dispatch mercenaries without violating any rules of of war, should such rules even be honored by anybody anymore. So I wonder how many F-16 pilots the United States military is going to convince to quit the military, sign up as mercenaries in the sky, and go get shot down over Russia, and then killed, perhaps first, tortured, interrogated, and then killed, all to save what? To save what? Oh, a corrupt criminal Zelensky regime that was involved in massive kickbacks, bribery, money laundering, and fraud back to the Biden crime cartel and the rest of the military-industrial complex that functions as a massive money laundering machine. And oh, also to cover up the bioweapons laboratories in Ukraine that were run by the Department of Defense to build weapons to mass murder the American people. So what F-16 pilot is going to say, yeah, sign me up for that. I want to die for the cabal. I'd love to get shot down out of the sky by advanced Russian anti-aircraft weaponry and then be interrogated and shot in order to protect the Biden crime cartel that's trying to destroy America. How many pilots are going to sign up for that? I don't think that number is very high. Just my guess, but I don't think it's a good number. Now, of course, unless these pilots are actually tuning in to the real media like this, like Brighton and Natural News and so on, they may not have any idea what's actually happening, because I saw an article on MSN over the weekend, and it was an amazing article. Talk about delusion. This was way more bizarre than any kind of transgenderism push. This was an article that said that Russia is about to use nuclear weapons, according to an analyst. Why? Because Russia has lost Bakhmut. Russia has run out of men, the article said. And all the men they have remaining have no weapons, no food. What else did it say? No. They've lost their morale, right? No more willingness to fight. They've run out of missiles also, the article said, and ammunition and tanks and everything. Just everything. They ran out of socks and snow cones and marshmallows and just everything you can think of. The article said Russia has already run out of those things. No staplers, no paper clips. It's horrible. This article is pure fiction. But that's what MSN publishes, of course. Nothing but fiction. And it's a projection of the situation in the West, actually. If anybody has run out of ammo in this conflict, it's Ukraine. It's the West. Ukraine, its anti-air defense system is just about gone. The Patriot missile system. Remember the video from last weekend about that Patriot missile system in Kiev that had launched like 30 missiles into the sky in about 2 minutes? 30 missiles to try to take down a Russian hypersonic missile, which apparently, struck that Patriot system and probably destroyed it. Do you realize that in that 2 minutes, that one Patriot missile battery firing 30 missiles, that's 10% of the entire annual production of Patriot missiles by Lockheed Martin? They only make 300 a year. In 2 minutes, they fired 30 of them. That's it. It's the West that's running out of ammunition. It's the West that doesn't have artillery rounds. It's the West that doesn't have enough men, especially Ukraine. Sadly, I don't wish death upon anybody, obviously, but Ukraine has, the Ukrainian government has sent a lot of men to their deaths in this conflict. But it's Ukraine that has run out of things, not Russia. And so this article, of course, is just a projection of the desperation of the West claiming that Russia has all these problems. So if anybody's desperate in this conflict, it's the West. And if anybody's going to start launching nukes, it's the United States. And this is my concern, is that we may be very close to the United States launching or deploying in some way nuclear weapons in order to just kick off World War III, knowing that Russia is poised to retaliate against the United States with its Poseidon, you know, underwater nuclear drone warhead systems that we've talked about before, plus Russian ICBMs with hyperglide reentry vehicles that will target, if they are launched, have no illusions, they will target Washington, D.C., Norfolk, Virginia, New York City, you know, Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado, Houston, Texas. They will target London. They will target Paris. They will target Berlin and many other cities throughout Europe. And we will have a nuclear annihilation scenario on our hands. And the insane, lawless, criminal cartel Biden regime is pushing us in that direction deliberately, rapidly, every single day, without a care in the world about anything that's actually practical here, like, oh, the debt ceiling. You know why Biden doesn't care about the debt ceiling? Because they plan to start World War III. That's why. You notice that they're not even negotiating on the debt ceiling. They just, oh, negotiations, forget it. They just leave. We don't need to negotiate. They know they're going to start World War III next month, probably, if they can. We should pray that they fail to do that, but that's their goal. Perhaps we can talk more about the debt implosion. But, well, let me also mention this as a side note. I should have another podcast up today about reassessing Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in light of the rapidly collapsing fiat banking system. As I state in that podcast, I am finalizing a scoring system for I've looked at Bitcoin and a bunch of other cryptocurrencies, especially the privacy-oriented coins, and I've come up with a scoring system that I'm rating each of these currencies based on things like privacy and fungibility, accessibility, you know, how easily you can acquire it or sell it or translate it, whether it's censorship-proof, you know, transaction speed and things like that. I've got this chart almost done, and I've got point rating systems now in this chart for all the top coins that I've been studying and looking at and trying out and using, all the wallets and the buying and selling mechanisms and on-ramps and off-ramps and looking at what their blockchains are, how they're structured, all of this. And I'm about to release this publicly, probably in the next week or so, with the scoring system, the rating system of what I think is the best cryptocurrency solution for privacy that cannot be confiscated. And the reason I think this is critical is because our banking system is, I mean, we are on the verge of a Western financial implosion if this debt ceiling doesn't get resolved. And even if they, quote, resolve it, they're just going to print more money and kick the can down the road a little longer, which means a bigger collapse when all that comes due. So either way, the dollar is going to be history. It will go to zero. The dollar is done. It's just a question of when. The Western banking system is in dire straits. The commercial real estate market is going to plunge. I mean, it's already begun, but you could see commercial real estate plunge 40% in the next 18 months. I mean, across the board, valuations just absolutely collapsing. More banks will collapse. They will be gone before the end of this year. Perhaps enough banks affecting hundreds or even thousands of banking locations or branches across the country. Imagine thousands of bank branches closing down. The bottom line is we're on the verge of a financial collapse, and nobody in the White House gives a crap at all. And the reason, I believe, is because, again, they know they're going to start World War III. They're really trying to do that. Meanwhile, domestically, America is collapsing. And there's a story out of the UK Daily Mail it's just mind-boggling. Here it is, the headline. Seattle's out-of-control crime and drug problem in Democrat-controlled city have forced the United States Postal Service to pause deliveries to an entire zip code. Okay, so they've halted the mail to the zip code 98118. Okay. I mean, the mail, it's so dangerous in 98118, wherever that is. Believe me, it's probably a Democrat stronghold. It's so dangerous there the mail carriers won't even go there. Why? Because thieves are hijacking the mail. They're stealing mail equipment and the mail itself. Everybody in that zip code has to go to the post office to pick up their mail. Like, can you imagine? A whole zip code has to go get your mail in person at the post office. Unbelievable. Now, according to the UK Daily Mail, quote, residents who lived in the 98118 zip code claimed they were not told their deliveries were paused, and instead they found out through neighbors or on Facebook. Now, this story says it's affecting 900 residents in South Seattle, but then again, the headline says mail's paused for the entire zip code, so it's not clear to me whether this is 900 people or everybody in the whole zip code, but either way, oh my gosh, I'm looking at the photos of some of the, oh my gosh, some of the homeless addicts, the crime, what, is that a human? What is that? Oh my gosh, okay. Zombie land, basically, is what Seattle has been turned into. Again, under Democrat control. So every Democrat-controlled city is collapsing. It's not just Seattle. You know, it's also Portland. It's Chicago. It's Los Angeles and so on. It's San Francisco. You name it. It's collapsing. Why don't Democrats give a crap? Again, because they don't plan to have an America much longer. They plan to have either World War III or a civil war, or they're just waiting for the activation of the occupying, you know, Chinese nationals and narco cartel, you know, drug military members who have already crossed the border. They're just waiting for the activation day for the giant communist revolution and takeover of the United States. That's what Democrats are waiting for. They don't care about making anything work. They want it all to be torn down. So understand, you are living in a war zone. You're living in it. It's the violence is off the charts. The insanity is off the charts. The rule of law is gone. There's no more functioning court system. There's no functioning justice system. The FBI and the DOJ have been weaponized against conservatives, but they cover up the crimes of Hillary Clinton and Hunter Biden and, well, the Joe Biden, the whole Biden family crime cartel. We are in dire straits. The Republic is nearly lost. That's the reality of where we are right now. And if it wasn't for the state governors and the state attorneys general, by the way, like Ken Paxton in Texas and Schmidt in Missouri and others, it's about 24 states that have attorneys general that are fighting for America. The other states, their governors and AGs are trying to destroy America for the most part. So, but if it wasn't for the states, it would be over already. You know, thank God for the 10th Amendment. Thank God that we have a federated system, the United States, the individual states of America. But even then, the overarching tyranny and power of the federal government is threatening, of course, the entire union. And Biden and the raging lunatic criminal Democrats are trying to bring it all down. Oh, but I forgot to mention the reason I'm talking about crypto right now is because we're going to have to get out of the banking system. I believe. I truly believe that the days of the Western banking system functioning are very limited. And of course, I've talked about gold and silver for a long time, but we also need a form of money that we can easily transmit and can use for payments, both local and long distances. Gold and silver are fantastic stores of value that will outlast the fall of civilization, but you can't send gold and silver through the internet. So it's also not encrypted, even if you could. So we need a digital monetary system, and we need it quickly because, well, of the rapid nature of the collapse of the banks. So I will let you know my findings, my scoring system, my conclusions once I have it all nailed down. I will be, by the way, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central, assuming this all goes off without a hitch, I will be joining a channel on YouTube called Uncle V. It's just like it sounds, Uncle V, the letter V, which I think stands for Vigilante, Uncle Vigilante. Yeah. I'm going to be joining him at 3 p.m. to talk about one of those cryptocurrencies that he has been, he's been an advocate of for a couple of years. And I'm going to share publicly with him and the audience the results of my investigation into that currency. So that should be interesting at 3 p.m. Central Time tomorrow, I believe, live on YouTube. And the channel is Uncle Vigilante. Should be interesting. Now, the National Pulse has a story here about Anheuser-Busch, which is the parent company of Bud Light, by the way. And, of course, we all love Bud Light, don't we, huh? Woo! Oh, yeah, Bud Light, just insulting America, insulting men, insulting everybody, running their LGBT rainbow flag, you know, insulting, arrogant, just fruity nonsense against their own customer base. Of course, nobody's buying Bud Light anymore. And the Bud Light parent company, Anheuser-Busch, has, quote, pledged to purge its white male employees in an effort to have a more diverse and inclusive environment. This is from a video that's found on the company's own website. Yeah, in one video, and this is, again, written up by the National Pulse, one employee of Anheuser-Busch says, quote, "We're still 40% women and 60% men, still predominantly white, so there's still work to be done." And the work to be done is, of course, replacing white male workers with others. So it has to be someone of color, and preferably a black woman is who's going to be in charge of every corporation, apparently. Every bank will be run by only black women. Nothing against black women, by the way. There are plenty of amazing, awesome black women. But I think even the amazing, awesome black women that I know would never say that they should be hired because they're a black woman. They should be hired because of their skills and their capabilities and their courage and their merit, you know. But all across America, these corporations, they are purging white people to eliminate white men from their companies, which means that Anheuser-Busch is going to have even more insane ad campaigns than Bud Light. Pretty soon, it'll be something like, you know, drink a beer, chop off your penis. You know, have a Budweiser, get rid of your scrotum. You know, like Sissy Man pea juice, you know, whatever it is. Snowflakian Light. It's going to be even crazier than anything you've seen so far. And the worst part is, because they will be hiring people based on the color of their skin rather than their merit, all of these virtue signaling corporations will end up collapsing because they will make the craziest decisions that will offend their audiences, their customer base, lose the money of their depositors if they're a bank, like what Silicon Valley Bank did. All these companies will be so busy virtue signaling, they will forget how to run their businesses, and they will collapse. Unless they get, you know, bailout money for being virtue signaling corporations, which is always possible. But in terms of having a revenue model that works, forget it. That's history. That's done. So if you hold any stock in Anheuser-Busch, you may want to get rid of that. And frankly, in any of these companies that are virtue signaling corporations, get rid of that stock, because they're all going down. Because they are abandoning business. They're abandoning free market capitalism. They're abandoning even honoring their customers. Their job is to now offend their customers. And I'm not surprised, by the way, that this is all about installing black women in every position in every corporation. Now, again, for the record, there's plenty of black women that I greatly admire, like Dr. Stella, for example. She's awesome. I've had her on the show, in the studio. She's amazing. Plenty of black women that are highly capable. Plenty of black women listening to this podcast. I'm just saying that I've seen in Hollywood, in movies now too, have you noticed this? That in every cop movie or cop show, the chief of police is a black woman suddenly. Have you noticed that? It's always a black woman. Used to be, like a few years ago, used to be the police chief would sometimes be a screaming black man, or often a screaming white man. It's always a screaming person for whatever reason. you know, the chief of police was always angry. Now it's an angry black woman in every show. It's like, okay, so every boss is now a black woman, and underneath the black women in every show now are the white, the meek, white, incapable, snowflake male underlings. Have you noticed that? It's always just stupid, incompetent white males as they're depicted in every script. Every script. It's so bizarre. And it's so obvious, right? It's just this pattern now that you see again and again and again. It's not just, oh, they happen to cast this person in this role. No, they're looking for this pattern every time. And the other weird thing I've noticed about Hollywood, which I've shared before, and again, not that I'm opposed to interracial marriages, by the way, because I'm not, but it's just, it's the pattern is that in every movie now, the couple has to be a white black couple. I don't know why, but I'm inviting you to look at this too, but you'll see this as I'm seeing it in every movie. If there's a couple, it's one person is black and one person is white for some reason. It's not even Asian and white or Asian and black or Hispanic and white or it's always one black person and one white person. It's obviously in the script. Someone's been told, put this in every script, put this in every movie. If there's anybody in charge, it's got to be a black woman. All the underlings have to be useless white men. Boom. Like that's every movie now. Incredible. And that's the agenda, right? That's the globalist agenda. You're seeing it every day. Now, speaking of a globalist agenda, you know, the WHO is trying to take control over the entire world with its health emergencies and the new, WHO treaty that's kicking in here soon. Well, here's a story from the Epoch Times. The GOP pushes back against WHO plans for global governance on emergencies, because as the subhead of this story says, the WHO director says that health emergencies would include poverty. So if people are poor, the WHO is in charge of your country. How about that? Oh, and ecological problems too. Oh, what was there a drought? Well, the WHO is in charge. Did the food crops have a problem because of geoengineering? Oh, the WHO is in charge. Now you have to be ordered around by a bunch of European globalist lunatic bureaucrats, right? Well, the GOP is pushing back against this. Not the Democrats, of course. Just the GOP. So House Republicans took to the podium on May 17th, says the Epoch Times, to condemn the Biden administration's negotiation of global pandemic agreements that they say will grant additional power to the World Health Organization and will centralize authority in an organization they say failed the American public during the COVID pandemic. And so the director general of the WHO says that member nations must establish a, quote, global architecture for health emergency preparedness, prevention, response, and resilience. That's known as HEPR, HEPR. right. They have to have an acronym for it. Which includes, quote, global governance, financing, and HEPR systems. Okay. So Representative Harriet Hageman of Wyoming, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, says, quote, international law does not trump our Constitution. Biden cannot force Americans to follow laws and regulations not passed by our own federal government. She says the World Health Organization pandemic treaty is very vague, and it affects our sovereignty. And it could be exploited to tell Americans what kind of healthcare they need in the event of a global pandemic, like, i.e., oh, mandatory vaccines, mandatory quarantines. Welcome to the quarantine camp. The guests check in, but they don't check out. Yeah. Lockdowns, right? Social distancing, but mostly vaccines and death camps is pretty much what that's about. So, it's great that the GOP, or at least some members, are figuring out that what I've been talking about and what even Alex Jones has been talking about this whole time, we didn't make it up. We were reading the WHO treaties, by the way. We were telling you what's in the treaties. And I don't know why everybody loves to pretend that nothing's happening. People love to be all asleep, like, it's all good. You know, stop being negative. that can't be happening. It's too dark. It's too weird. That can't be happening. But it is happening. It is happening. The WHO wants to control the world. They want to control you. They want to force you into death camps and mandatory vaccines and mandatory lockdowns. And some GOP reps are finally figuring out that maybe we need to have some pushback against this. Now, if you want details about that treaty, by the way, of course, I've interviewed Dr. Francis Boyle, who warns that that treaty was specifically written in a way to override national sovereignty. In fact, I interviewed Dr. Francis Boyle 6 months ago. And if you just search his name on Brighteon.com, Francis Boyle, B-O-Y-L-E, and it's about the WHO pandemic treaty designed to enslave and exterminate humanity. So yeah, we were talking about this 6 months ago. Actually, long before that, because I've interviewed Dr. Boyle on other platforms as well. But now, if you're wondering how they're going to enforce all of this, I mean, you know, you're thinking that, no, the humans will fight back. Well, what if they can't because the robot overlords are the new jail keepers, right? So here's a story, also out of the UK Daily Mail. You have the right to remain cyber, it says. ChatGPT-funded robot powered by AI is already working as a security guard in the US and Europe. There's a robot called Eve. Yeah, no biblical references there. It's a robot called Eve, and it's an AI-powered robot that can navigate, and it can ride on elevators, and it can pick up objects. And the story says this robot could work as a nurse or a barman. It can pick up objects with its human-like arms. And that's the CEO of this company, funded by OpenAI, has revealed all this. Bernd Bornich is the CEO and founder of 1X. Bernd, B-E-R-N-T. If you want to look that up, Bernd Bornich, founder of 1X, says his company's humanoid Eve robot has been working since April, and it's the first truly humanoid android to find a place in the workplace in human history. The robot is working as a security guard at two industrial sites. Unlike other security robots, it has a head, a face, two arms, and can navigate autonomously. That's not creepy at all. Security guards control a fleet of these patrolling Eve android robots, which are made at two sites in Norway and Dallas, by the way. And if anything happens to one of the units, the human security guards can, quote, step into the android's body through virtual reality. You got that? Bornich says, quote, you're there in a second, as if you were there. What? So you've got 20 Eve robots patrolling around, walking around, humanoid robots, and then one of them spots something. And so, like, the human security guard, I guess, puts on VR goggles or something, and is like, Shazam, he's in the body of the robot, seeing what the robot sees and then controlling the robot. These are freaking Terminator surrogates, man. Pretty soon, these robots are going to be armed. And the way they're going to do this is they're going to say, well, it's the human controlling the shooting. Therefore, it's legal. And they'll say, well, the robot's not shooting anybody. It's the human security guard controlling the robot that's doing the shooting. So that's how they're going to have armed robots. And they're not going to be patrolling just industrial sites, folks. They're going to patrol the quarantine camps to keep you in. Where did you think this was going? I mean, they're building Terminator robots, humanoid robots, and they're launching more plandemics. I mean, seriously, where did you think this was going to go? Of course they're going to round up, if they can, hundreds of millions of humans and exterminate them in concentration camps, and they're going to use robots as the guards because the robots are more obedient than human guards, you see. Oh, also, Bornich says that these robots can, quote, help solve labor shortages in the next 5 years. What do you think that means? It means they're replacing. They're replacing you. They're replacing humans. Yeah, and how long will it be before they have one of these humanoid robots that can just walk up and start using keyboards and start typing away? And then, and not only that, but can lift boxes in the warehouse and drive trucks and operate forklifts and all of this. And then how many jobs are obsolete? How many humans are obsolete? You wonder why they're exterminating the human race right now? Because they don't need anybody, or hardly anybody, after the next 5 or 10 years. They don't really need that many people. They don't need you anymore. Of course, the human worker is obsolete, starting now. So I want to show you about a 1 minute promotional video from this company that's making these robots. But this video is 2 years old, by the way. So what you're about to see is the very early version of this. But watch this promotion and grasp how creepy this is. And it shows the VR thing where you can step into the first person view of the robot and take control over it. And it shows how the robot is challenging employees to show their identities, and it's tracking everybody's faces, you know, and the robot has all the security passwords, but the humans don't. This is amazing. Check out this video. It's about a minute and 15 seconds. Here we go.
Security work is demanding in many ways. It means being constantly on the move, constantly alert. It requires awareness of sudden changes, as well as subtle changes over time. It means awkward conversations with employees about the company security policy. It's being everywhere at once, checking doors and hallways again and again. It's being in one place, then suddenly hurrying to another. It means total commitment to the task at hand, never distracted and never tired. It's seeing everything for the first time, every time, never overlooking anything. When it comes to security, failure is not an option. Yet mistakes are only human. That's why a guard robot is an excellent colleague. Always alert, always on the move. Because security never sleeps.
Well, that wasn't at all creepy. Now just imagine it being emblazoned with an LGBT flag and enforcing transgenderism ideology in the office, like running around with like a genital cutting scalpel or something. You know, you have to have virtue signaling woke AI Terminator robots to make sure all the children are the proper gender, right? That's where it's going. All right, speaking of creepy globalists, Bill Gates was in the news over the weekend, reportedly, this is from the New York Post, Jeffrey Epstein threatened to expose Bill Gates' alleged affair with a Russian bridge player, you know, because playing bridge is so sexy, I guess. I don't know. So from the story, let's see, Jeffrey Epstein threatened to expose an affair that Bill Gates allegedly had with a Russian bridge player after the Microsoft co-founder declined to join his philanthropic venture, according to a report on Sunday, which says that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in 2019, of course, which did not happen like that. But it says, according to this report, he threatened Gates over this affair of Russian card whiz Mila Antonova in a 2017 email, according to the Wall Street Journal. So this is a Wall Street Journal report, which is shocking. And the headline of the Wall Street Journal is that Jeffrey Epstein appeared to threaten Bill Gates over Microsoft co-founder's affair with Russian bridge player. So the disgraced financier was trying to set up a philanthropic fund that he hoped would include the billionaire as an anchor donor. This gets to the key point of how Jeffrey Epstein actually functioned. And by the way, it's, I think, pretty widely understood that Jeffrey Epstein worked for Mossad as well as other intelligence agencies. But part of this was Israeli intelligence. And what Epstein was supposed to do was compromise people by inviting them over to his mansion or his island or both, or take the airplane that he had, and then And it would be powerful people, people with money, people in positions of power, senators, governors, future presidents, corporate CEOs, and they would be invited to rape children or to, you know, engage in straight up pedophilia or have sex with young boys or girls or both or whatever their twisted little perverted minds are into. And then Jeffrey Epstein would film all that. And he had this massive library. At least this is what is alleged. And this is why you'll never see the full client list, by the way. And this is why Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. But allegedly, he had all these tapes on all these people, and then he would use that to blackmail people and say, look, you know, you're going to support this project, or we're going to go public with the video of you, you know, porking this 9-year-old or whatever it was. And so he used that tactic, according to the Wall Street Journal, he used that tactic against Bill Gates and tried to threaten Bill Gates to say, hey, we knew that Bill Gates, you had an affair with this Russian card player. A couple of comments, by the way. Hey, whatever you think about Bill Gates, at least he wasn't a pedophile, huh? Right? Because, okay, he had affairs with Russian women, apparently, or at least one, maybe with others, who knows? But, and I'm not defending him, obviously, but I mean, there are way more sick, twisted people out there. At least Bill Gates was just having sort of affairs with adults. It's not like he was going after, you know, little boys and girls, which is a lot of what other people were into, that kind of craziness. And that's what Jeffrey Epstein specialized in, was getting people caught on video having sex with little boys and girls. And then, boy, you could get them to pay off big time. You know, this could be royalty, right? It could be people in the Vatican. It could be, you know, senators or whatever, corporate leaders. How much you want to bet there is a massive videotape library somewhere? I say tape, that makes me sound as old as I am. Digital files, I should say, of all these important people like WEFers and so on, just humping little boys and girls. You can rest assured those digital files exist somewhere. Somebody's got them and somebody's using them to carry out blackmail right now in the exact same way. I mean, those kinds of files, that's a treasure trove of dark ops influence. And the globalists know this. The Mossad knows this. The CIA knows this. I mean, this is how they compromise people. I mean, hopefully this isn't the first time you've heard this, because this is really routine stuff. This is why, if you're someone of importance and someone invites you, hey, come on over to the, what, you know, take a ride on the plane. We're going to have a great time. You know, your answer should be, no thanks. Or if you're getting on the plane, you're like, what are all these little boys and girls doing here? Is this like a child? Is there like a nursery, you know, children's playroom here? What's going on? You should leave. You should leave, because you're about to be set up. Or in a hotel room, they'll do things like they'll set up cameras in a hotel room, and they'll plant like a 14-year-old, you know, prostitute in the hotel room. And then you don't even know they're there, right? And this is how these traps work. And then you open the door, you walk into your room, and like you sit down on your bed, and then out of the bathroom, there's a 14-year-old, you know, Russian prostitute or whatever just pops onto your lap and starts taking pictures or something. And you're a senator, or you're a congressperson, or you're a governor, or you're a CEO, whatever. And before you can even say, who the hell are you? Get out of my face. What are you doing here? What are you doing in my room? Before you can even do that, they have like 75 pictures of this 14-year-old prostitute, you know, hanging all over you, looking crazy. And then they blackmail you with that. Like, this is how this operation works. And a lot of people have been ensnared, even if they didn't do anything. But then again, other people willfully go along with this. Some people, they want positions of power, and they're not even allowed to, you know, let's say run for senator or run for governor, unless they willfully compromise themselves and provide the videotape of them raping a child, so that the controllers who are providing the campaign funding know that that candidate will always be loyal. See, that's actually the most powerful deployment of this, is when somebody goes along with it willfully. and they put themselves on tape knowingly raping a child in order to commit their loyalty to the controllers, the campaign, you know, funders who are going to put them in a position of power. And then from there, everything they do is controlled by someone else. So if you've ever wondered why there are senators, for example, that vote in ways that seem insane, like, why are you voting for that? It's not even what you believe in. Well, now you know. I mean, this is a very common explanation, and it's a real thing. And that's why Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, obviously. And by the way, for the record, I'm not accusing Bill Gates of being involved in those kinds of activities. He, according to Wall Street Journal, he just had an affair with a Russian woman who liked to play with cards. Okay. That's not the craziest thing in the world. maybe Bill Gates thinks like card tricks are sexy or something. I don't know. You know, oh, the Queen of Hearts turns me on, man. Reminds me of the early days of Windows 3.1. I don't know. So from the Wall Street Journal, here it is. Starting in 2011, Bill Gates had more than a half dozen meetings scheduled with Epstein, including dinners at Epstein's New York townhouse. Documents show Gates flew on Epstein's private plane from New Jersey to Florida in 2013. That same month, the two men met in France with an official on the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, because of course, Epstein would be tied to the Nobel Peace Prize, because if you rape enough children, you're going to get a prize. You know, you're going to get a Nobel Prize or a Pulitzer Prize. Obviously, if you rape enough children and tell enough lies, yeah, you're going to get recognized by the globalists officially. What's really interesting about all this, by the way, and this is even reported by the Wall Street Journal, which may seem shocking to you, they have a subhead in this article called the JP Morgan Connection. Yeah, see, I'm telling you. In this section, it says that Epstein was trying to set up a multi-billion dollar charitable fund with JP Morgan that would pool money from some of the world's wealthiest people. Yeah, the people that he compromised with sex tapes, basically. Epstein proposed that JP Morgan set up the fund with a minimum $100 million contribution per individual. See? So if you're a billionaire and you want to go rape children, Epstein will gladly provide that service for you. It's just going to cost you a minimum $100 million that you have to deposit in the bank as a charitable donation. See, rape a child, donate to a charity. You see how this was hand in hand. And then Jeffrey Epstein gets millions of dollars in fees, according to the Wall Street Journal. In addition to the fees, writes the Wall Street Journal, the disgraced financier saw the fund as a way to rehabilitate his reputation, according to people he told of his thinking. It hinged on securing support from Bill Gates. And Bill Gates, of course, has a lot of control over the media. So if you're Jeffrey Epstein and you're a Mossad intelligence agent operative who leverages video files where you arrange for billionaires to rape little boys and girls, then you have a reputation problem. Who can help? Well, if you're Jeffrey Epstein, you're like Bill Gates. Bill Gates can help because Bill Gates funds half the media, right? And so that's what Epstein was trying to do. He's trying to get Gates snagged into all this, and probably failed, by the way, because Bill Gates was just like, I want to like hang out with this bridge card player, Russian girl. But I don't think Bill Gates was like diddling little boys and girls, right? Although other people did, but Gates is just like, bridge turns me on. Okay, whatever. So JP Morgan did business with Jeffrey Epstein, but that charitable fund never got off the ground, according to the Wall Street Journal. JP Morgan spokesperson even said, quote, knowing what we know today, we wish we had never done business with him. Yeah, I'll bet. A spokesperson for the bank declined to comment. Let's see, a lawyer for this person who's no longer at JP Morgan didn't respond to a request for comment, and so on and so forth. Everybody who ever knew Epstein says they regret it. They didn't know that he was raping children and this and that. Okay, right. But why was all this money changing hands? Was Jeffrey Epstein just the kind of guy that everybody just wanted to write $100 million checks to this guy just because they love charity so much that they just wanted to flood Epstein with charity money? I doubt it. I doubt it. There was probably, it's probably videotape being leveraged over these people. So bottom line there, be careful of what kind of friends you keep and what kind of operations they have going on. And if you get invited over to your friend's house, you know, your new friend, and there's like way too many little teenage boys and girls running around for some reason, and there's like way too many cameras, and there's way too many special rooms, you should maybe leave. Then again, if you're not a billionaire, you might not be targeted in that way. So you'll never see that side of the intelligence community. But they operate on compromise. You know, compromat is their currency, obviously. And they try to compromise everybody in any way they can. If they can't compromise you, they just lie about you. But it's so much more effective if they can actually compromise you with actual photos or videos or whatever. Kind of makes you wonder about deepfakes, though, doesn't it? Since this deepfake technology is very advanced these days, they can create probably a lot of fake videos of people in all kinds of compromising positions, things like that. So kind of makes you wonder, can you trust anything that comes out? Audio, video, photos, can you trust it? I don't know. Our world's getting taken over by perverts, demons, pedophiles, AI, child mutilators and rapists. It's a freaky situation. Very bizarre. And yes, we're headed into World War III. Yes, we're headed into a financial collapse, and we're headed into probably a government collapse. We're headed into a time of real chaos, and we just better be ready. Now, speaking of being ready, by the way, I would like to now bring you, two interviews. Let's do two interviews. The first interview will be with the Texas boys, like I promised. They moved to Central Texas from the Northeast, set up a homestead, do homeschooling, home food growing, and all of it. That's a fascinating interview. I think you'll enjoy that. And then after that, let's do an interview with Lucinda Bailey from Texas Ready. I think that website is texasready.net. Yeah, it's .net. And Lucinda, who I just met over the weekend, she and her husband run an amazing farm in Texas, and they are experts at growing food, getting maximum produce production using mineralization techniques that apparently prevent the plant from, you know, interacting with any limiting factors. So it produces far higher yields far earlier. So a lot of your food crops will actually produce, like zucchini, you can start to get zucchini in something like 35 days after planting it, which is pretty amazing. I think that's what she told me, but it's in the interview. I think you'll enjoy both of these interviews. They're both sort of positive, practical interviews. Maybe they will be inspiring, since I just covered a lot of pretty dark subjects. Sorry about that. But these two interviews should be pretty inspiring, so enjoy them. And then, of course, I'll be with you tomorrow from the Brighteon studio, and we'll talk then. Until then, don't forget our sponsors, Marjorie Wildcraft, icangrowfood.com. Teaches you how to grow a lot of food in a small amount of space. Again, icangrowfood.com. And also arcseedkits.com, spelled just like it sounds, A-R-K, arcseedkits.com, for heirloom non-GMO seeds, big garden seed packs that can help large numbers of people grow a massive amount of food, especially if you have the how-to techniques from people like Marjorie Wildcraft and Lucinda Bailey that we're going to hear from here shortly as well. So again, arcseedkits.com, and try discount code Ranger if you buy anything from them. I think discount code Ranger gets you a discount on some of their products. So, okay, here come the interviews. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. All right, welcome everyone. Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com, and I'm joined today by TD with thetexasboys.com as part of the Exit and Build Land Summit. And TD here, he and his sons are here,
and or some of his sons, and they do homesteading, homeschooling, raising food, and living in Texas. And welcome. It's great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
So you're in the minds of a lot of people right now who are really thinking of making this transition to living in a more sustainable rural way. You're living the dream.
Well, we decided to do this about 9 years ago. We strategically relocated to Texas, and then the boys started a YouTube channel. And all of these different guys that I resonate with and follow, like Richard Grove and Curtis Stone, and then when I heard Patrick Wood, I'm like, whoa, they're all going to be in one spot. Like, we have to do this, you know?
Right.
So we started promoting the summit. And then the three older boys were like, yeah, well, we would go with you, you know? And I thought, here's what's so awesome. So they did go to give us our name tags, right? And it was a younger fella helping out. And he was like, so are you guys going into the childcare? I'm like, no, they're here to learn, man. This is the way that we've done it, you know? And what we've learned from life is, you know, we got this land and we started like trying to grow stuff, and we gave the boys the responsibility, you know, like, hey, this is going to be your teacher. This is, you know, what I always said growing up, I grew up kind of poor, you know, and I've done pretty well. And how do you make your kids grow up hard? You know what I mean? When you're successful and you have abundance, how do you make them know what it's like to struggle, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, wait. Let me just jump in, because I've seen the same thing. Kids that get too much free stuff, too much easy stuff, they grow up weak, and many times they fail in society because they never learned what it means to have to earn something.
Right. And the beauty of, if you have been blessed, you know, we've been greatly blessed by God, but we've been blessed so much. So how do we have them grow up with the struggle? Well, it's the farm, you know, it's the animals, and it's the adversaries. It's the predator animals. And then there's the predator class and all the other stuff we talk about as well. But the agrarian life is such a microcosm of life, and it gives you we homeschool, you know, we control our children's education, and it gives you that platform to prepare for them a well-rounded life where they know where their food comes from, they're actively participating in it, and then simultaneously, you know, they're learning what's going on out there. It's not a shelter thing, you know, they're learning what's going on around them. And
well, they're living in the real world.
Correct. And this is why are we growing our own food? Well, because they're poisoning it. That's why, you know. It helps us to demonstrate that to them.
You didn't want your boys to grow up on TikTok.
Correct. Yeah. No, we categorically reject TikTok. Yeah.
that's a good choice. So I think a lot of our audience are going to be wondering, what did you do professionally before you made this transition?
Well,
if you don't mind saying.
You know, I was at a financial planner for 11 years, and I was a junior partner, and I kind of got pushed out and lost my equity stake and all that stuff. And so I got into construction, started doing that, and then some really big storms hit, did really well. And we decided, you know, we should get out while the getting's good, you know. So we left the Northeast, strategically relocated here, started over again from scratch.
Wow.
We couldn't sell our home. We had to let them foreclose. I had an 816 credit score. I had all kinds of revolving credit. We paid as we went. So the only debt we had was a mortgage. And we had to let them foreclose, destroyed my credit. We came down here with a little bit of cash. We bought a fixer-upper. And in the last 9 years, we bought our 5-acre homestead, fixed it up. We then purchased 25 acres that we graze longhorn. And then we just bought another additional 15 acres and we expanded our homestead. And it's just, you know, bootstrap and try, fail, adjust, and learning from great people like you and all these other platforms of people putting out real information and networking. You know, that's why we're here at the Exit and Build, is to network, learn, share, and then also take this information and run it through our network and try to get it out.
Well, let me mention that. Your YouTube channel is called
The Texas Boys. Yeah.
The Texas Boys. Okay. You are, of course, you have an invitation to launch your channel on Brighteon.com.
Okay. Yeah. We'll
of course, we'd love to have you there.
Yeah, that's great. We'll do it.
Yeah. And you won't be censored.
Yeah, good. That's happened several times, actually.
you can say almost literally anything you want.
That'd be great. That's so freeing. That's so Americana.
I know. It harkens back to the day just 3 years ago or whatever before all the censorship.
Yeah, remember that?
So tell us about some of the struggles that you've had then, because you took on a lot, and it sounds like you weren't raised on a farm. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I was raised in a neighborhood, and I had never grown anything. And actually, what happened is, you know, we were inspired by YouTube, like guys like Justin Rhodes and Joel Salatin, and we were taking in this information, and we're like, wow, well, you know, other people are trying to do this, and we're going to try to do it. And when you try, there's a lot of failure involved. That's right. And all that. And but I got this, you know, I always kind of overdo everything, you know. And I was like, well, we need to plant some fruit trees. And when's the best time to plant a fruit tree? 20 years ago, you know, when's the next best time, you know, right now. So yeah. we drove to the nursery and I bought like $1,000 of fruit trees. And then I'm like, oh no, now I got to plant them. And that's what kind of started us on. I'd never planted anything, never grew anything.
It started with fruit trees.
Yeah. And it started with fruit trees. And now we have about 400 fruit trees. And I've killed many, many. We propagate them. We have a greenhouse. So, and we demonstrate that stuff on our YouTube channel. And
how'd the deer do with all those fruit trees?
Well, we've systematically fenced in our property.
Oh, okay.
And we have a livestock guardian dog. So we don't have any issues with deer currently.
And we rotate.
Yeah, we have coonies, and we rotate our ducks and our chickens.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And you said you have longhorns.
Yes, and we have about 15 longhorn.
I'm really glad you have longhorns, because a lot of people I know here in Central Texas, they have longhorns, and such an incredible animal.
Yeah, and it's part, you know, when we came here, we said, you know, we want to take everything about the culture and encapsulate it, amplify it, you know, and the longhorn is part of Texas history. And we want to preserve that history. We want to preserve as best we can the cowboy way of life. You know, my boys don't dress like this. This isn't a fashion statement, but it is a cultural statement.
Yeah, for those, I mean, this is audio only on my side, but for those listening, your boys are all dressed like Texas cowboy hats, Texas belts, and boots. But it's a functional
correct
garb. This is not costume time.
No.
In fact, even the design of the hat is designed so that the rain falls off in front of you instead of down your collar.
Correct. You know, and these kids are working boys, you know. Yep. They just set their fence and their sign for their property. We believe in not just family, but building the way that it used to be and the way that it still is in some places in Europe, where, you know, in America with the government schools and the propaganda camps and then higher education, where they continue that Prussian, Bernaysian, like divide and conquer, and we're going to split you all up. And, you know, oh, you need to leave your family and go off and see the world and kind of do your own thing. Well, what if family didn't want to, like, I hate my mom and dad. I want to get as far away from them, you know, and, you know, I'll come and visit or whatever. But what if they wanted to stay? And what if, you know, what if your children wanted to stay and build their homes, right? And because, you know, well, it's so hard to build a community. Well, how about just build your family, right? And encourage them. So my wife and I said, what if there was a way that instead of just accumulating wealth and dying and giving that to your heirs, what if there was a way to do that while you're alive?
Uh-huh.
You know, and we can participate together, share together. So that was our desire, you know, and we prayed about it, like, how can we do this? So starting over from nothing with we spent all our capital on our home, you know. I took a low paying job and grew that, and we bootstrapped and just saved our money, started buying dirt. And I mean, that was what we're realizing now. We have about 50 acres, and it's just been a slow accumulation over 9 years, you know?
Yep.
And now, Matt, my oldest son, he's building his house on our new property, and we're going to continue this, you know, this legacy.
Let me talk to your son here for a minute.
Sure.
If that's cool. So Matt, what has this been like in your experience?
In my experience, it's been a very interesting experience,
And I will say one thing is that I'm absolutely blessed beyond measure with just being able to grow up loving my family and not hating them and hating my mom and my dad and my brothers and working together as a family unit. And that's one of the biggest things that I love about our farm. And I love that our mom and dad include us in everything and in all the decisions that we get to make on the farm. And, you know, we are the work hands on the farm and we do everything. And it's just a legacy that we are building upon. And it is an incredible journey that we are on. And all of us kids are planning on building all of our houses on the land and just keeping the dream alive that we've started.
Can I ask you, if you don't mind sharing, how old are you?
I'm 18 years old. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. You look young and healthy and super strong. By the way, I can tell you're not sitting on the couch playing Xbox all day. You're working.
Right? Yep. Yep. Yeah. Us boys just got done fencing in our 15 acres. We put in, it was about 3,000 feet of fencing, and we have our own sawmill, and we are starting up our own mobile sawmilling business.
Really?
So,
what kind of wood are you using for your sawmill?
Any type, you know, pine.
Even mesquite?
Yep. I actually haven't tried that yet.
It's hard.
Okay.
It's a very tough wood, but it makes great lumber.
I would be very interested in trying the sawmill that, actually. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, very good. So you have fence building skills, animal skills. Do you work with the Longhorns too?
Yep. All of our Longhorns have pedigrees, and we have a breeding program that we're slowly figuring out. And we actually have a neighbor that he's been doing it for a couple decades now, and we're learning everything we can from him. And it's just been a really good learning experience. And I think the one thing that I could say is for any young people out there is just if you're ever around the older generation, just sit beside them and listen to them and just soak up all their knowledge like a sponge, you know, because all their failures, you can learn from it. And I think the older generation is the way that we have to get back to, you know.
See, and thank you for that, Matt. We don't hear a lot of young people talk like this because the schools teach them that your parents are idiots, that the government is your Lord and Savior, and that you need to be the opposite gender.
Yeah, exactly. And now we don't even know what gender we are, you know. And speaking of this whole gender thing, you know, we're here talking about transhumanism and the technocracy. And, you know, you start thinking about this thing when it comes to gene editing your food. Well, the end game with this whole transgenderism, transnocracy, is, you know, they're going to gene edit us, you know? So then that way you're not, you know, you don't just, it's funny, you know, we drove by the birth center on the way here and it said, it's a boy. I'm like, wow, you can say that. I mean, how do you know it's a boy? And it struck me, you know, right then I'm like, no, they're going to say, oh, well, you identify, we're going to decide that you identify as a boy now, and we're going to gene edit you. Because now the argument is you're a biological male. Well, that's wait 6 months. I don't know. I used to say wait 10 or 20 years, but anymore.
Well, it's all happening faster now.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. It's insane.
Well, so talk to us about your food supply. How much food are you growing yourself?
So we just got a greenhouse. That's been a huge game changer because that's given us a longer growing season. Texas Ready, who is here, I mean, they have a phenomenal program. So we're getting up to speed on that because we've had raised beds and then we planted in the ground and we've had great years and then we've had really terrible years. Last year was a rough year with the drought. But we have about 400 fruit trees. I wanted to go with a large perennial infrastructure because once you kind of plant that stuff, if you keep it watered and mineralized and fed, you know, it should continue. It should take less input, you know. And so we have a very large pantry. We talk about that on our channel, like prepping and food storage. And we do a lot of canning. And we have 8 people in our family. So it's kind of funny when you talk to people about prepping and they kind of see something. I'm like, y'all don't understand how much kids eat. I'm like, this isn't that much food. Which is why we need, one, we need our community. You know, we have a nice, great local community. Some people have moved in and other people were already there. And so we're constantly within our community, like bartering or exchanging or helping and encouraging. And that's food storage, you know, working with your community. And what, and so, you know, our one neighbor there, when the harvest is in, they're always dropping stuff off, and you know, that's kind of all part of it. So
are you doing backyard chickens at this point?
Yep. We have many, many, many chickens. We probably have about 100 or so.
We just got done. We hatch our own chickens too, and we've hatched out this spring over 100 baby chicks.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of roosters to deal with.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I've run into that issue myself. It's like, what am I going to do with all these roosters?
Crockpot.
Yeah, it turns out.
We have Muscovy ducks. So we have ducks. We have chickens. And then we have the longhorn. And we have Cooney Coonies. They stay in our food forest. And they, you know, lightly till the ground and keep everything fertilized. And
nice.
Yeah.
All right. So remind folks again how they can find you. What aside from your channel, your website?
Yeah, our website is thetexasboys.com. And our YouTube channel is The Texas Boys. And so check us out there. We appreciate it. And we would love to, we put a lot of current event stuff out, but what we want to continue to demonstrate is we had this idea, we implemented it, we started it, it works. And we're going to continue forward with that, with training your own children, teaching them hard work, teaching them entrepreneurship, you know, entrepreneurism. Yes.
Yeah, and we just came out with our own course too, which teaches all of that.
We
did.
We just launched a video course with a workbook. We have a parenting course, and then the boys did a young men's course to try to just disseminate and distill and propagate this information for others.
Well, we can help you with that.
That would be great.
Well, we have a new channel called Brighteon University, which is brightu.com, and we feature documentaries there. Any kind of a video series, and then people who watch that, they're offered the opportunity to purchase the course or the series or the downloads.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
So I can get my team in touch with your boys, and if you want to do that, we can get that out to a lot of people.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd like to do that.
Okay, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
We'd like to work with you, and also I invite you next time you come down to Austin. My studio is in this area as well. You could come in our studio and do another interview, but you have to bring some stuff to show.
We'll do it. We'll bring it all. That'd be great.
Show and tell.
Yeah, we'll do it.
All right.
That'd be great.
That's great.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, thank you. Thanks for joining us today. And really happy that to hear what you're doing. This is what we need to survive, I think, as a species. And happy to have you here as fellow Texans.
That's great. Yeah. Thanks for having us on, Mike. All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And the website, folks, is thetexasboys.com. And hopefully soon to appear a channel on brighteon.com as well, where they are very, very welcome and will not be censored. We'll call it the Texas Boys Uncensored edition. Yeah. How about that? All right. Thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of brighteon.com, reporting from the Exit and Build Land Summit in Bastrop, Texas. Take care. All right, welcome to this audio interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and today I'm joined by Lucinda Bailey with TexasReady.net, and she is an expert in food production yields and teaching people how to get the most out of their gardening efforts. It's not just about having seeds. It's about knowing what to do to turn that into actual food with the highest efficiency possible, especially when it really counts. So, Lucinda, welcome. It's great to have you on.
It's a real pleasure. I've followed your work for many years, so it's just so great to meet you in person. And yes, that is my life passion, is helping people go from zero understanding of gardening all the way up to perhaps slaughtering their own animals on their own ranches in their own homesteads. So city slickers all the way to homesteaders.
And you're based in Texas, and your company, your organization provides a number of things, I understand. Not only seed collections, but also training. Is that correct?
We do. We have heirloom seeds. We believe that's the foundation for your food, your family's food, and ultimately your animal's food. And then we give you the training to make good use of those seeds.
And tell us about what is that training course? What's the format? What's it like?
There are a couple of ways that we can do. We have a 5-hour workshop, which is simply getting an overview of the Mittleiter garden system, which we believe is the most superior of all the different methodology out there. It will get you the 4,400 pounds of food for a family of four on a 20th of an acre. That's what would be useful on a quarter acre subdivision lot. And in a 1-year period, you can certainly grow that 4,400 pounds of food here in Texas. 3 cycles of gardens. And we tell you exactly how many bean plants you're going to need to get what your family is going to require.
So what this term you're mentioning, Mittleiter, Mittleider. Now, probably a lot of our listeners haven't heard of this before. Can you describe what's the focus of this kind of method and what was it really developed for?
Sure. Mr. Mittleiter was a baker originally, and so he was very used to tweaking recipes. He then converted into agronomy, has a PhD in agronomy. And what he did over a 55-year period, all continents, was he took orphanages that were failing and he got them into food production, and then they could sell their produce and, you know, pay for all the education. It was just a great system. These were villages, by the way, that were so poor they couldn't afford a rake. So he did the straight in the dirt, which we believe is entirely possible. You can also do this in raised beds. So however you like to garden, we can help you do that. The issue is, are the plants getting the right amount of minerals? The right mathematical formulations have been known. Every ag school teaches them. They teach them to people that garden or do farming on 5,000 acres. But our focus is the patriot who has a quarter acre subdivision lot or perhaps 10 acres. They've never gardened before. They don't know how to feed their family, and they don't want to have $17 tomatoes.
I've grown $300 watermelons before in Arizona.
Very tasty, very tasty.
Yeah, that water bill really added up.
Yes. Now, speaking of water, the Mittleiter system is so efficient on its water that we use at least 40% less. We water in Texas in 100 degree heat 1 minute in the morning and 1 minute at night. It's that efficient of a water system. So it's an integrated approach. So we feed the plant what it needs, when it wants it, in the quantities that it wants it, in the format that those roots can uptake the nutrition, because as many people don't know, it has to be water-driven that carries the mineralization. And once we provide the plant what it wants, guess what? We're rewarded with a fabulous harvest. And most people are gardening at below 50% of the capacity of what those seeds can deliver.
That was my next question, because in a depression scenario or a collapse scenario or a food hyperinflation scenario, growing transitions from a hobby to a survival.
That's right.
You must get the yields or you starve. So when it counts, people need this knowledge that you can't get by on 50% yields.
That is correct. And also, you will have tremendous bug problems if you don't provide the plant what it needs. A healthy plant exudes pheromones, which repel insects naturally. If you have a bug problem, you really have a soil and nutritional problem. So we try to prevent all that. When I converted my 27-acre ranch in Montgomery, Texas, to this method, I've only had one particular vegetable that had an infestation of bugs that I couldn't deal with naturally.
Now, what about soil microbes?
This is fabulous for those. I mean, it's a tremendous carbon sink when we do this. This system could be equated to dirt hydroponics. If you're familiar with hydroponics, which is providing the plant, it's a delivery system that happens to use water. Soil is not required to have healthy plants. The issue for me is hydroponics has downfall in a survival in situation. You need electricity, and that isn't always easily provided with a solar.
Pumps fail.
I was going to say, if you like gidgets and gadgets and repairing stuff, hydroponics and aquaponics are for you.
Right.
If you like spending a lot of money, a $20,000 situation setup is not uncommon to feed a family of four. You cannot grow enough carbohydrates. The root crops don't do well in hydroponic setup. They are experimenting with it, but it is by far not perfected. So where are we going to get the calories? You're going to need at least 2,500 calories, and even that is low. According to the U.S. Army, they're saying that you need 3,500 to 6,500 calories per day per man in a stressful emergency situation.
Yeah, well, plus when you're gardening and working and a lot of physical exertion, 2,500 calories a day is not enough.
That's correct. So we got to get you the turnips and the carrots and the sweet potatoes, yeah. 323 calories per pound. So that's what we need to do.
Okay. Well, this is really fascinating, and I'm really glad to have run into you here. We're at the Exit and Build Land Summit that was put on by John Bush. That's what some of the background noise is, folks. All kinds of people here. But I would love to talk to you some more. Can you swing by the studio at some point?
That sounds really great, Mike. Thank you for the invitation. And we're just going to pray blessings over the gardens of all of your people. There is no such thing in Scripture as a brown thumb. God gave us the seed in Genesis 2. And we're going to honor that and believe him and believe that he's going to grace us with the ability. My people do perish for lack of knowledge. We're going to provide that knowledge.
Well said. Amen to that. Thank you so much. And the website, everybody, is texasready.net, correct?
Perfect.
Okay, texasready.net. And this chart here, is this something people can download off your website? Or
They can pay $5 and get this nice chart that is laminated so it goes directly in the garden. If they buy one of our seed banks, it automatically comes. We would love to have them order it on the website if they'd like. There is a modified view of this in the Mittleiter Garden Course book that we have. So there's a lot of different ways we want to get this information into their hands.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me.
Love it.
All right. Welcome to today's interview. I'm Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com. And today we're joined by Michael Wolfert with a company called Symbiosis. And we're at the Exit and Build Land Summit. So a little bit of background noise, just bear with us. But Michael, welcome to the interview. And can you tell us a little bit about what you do and why it matters to our world?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Mike. So we help people design and build and maintain regenerative homesteads, ranches, farms, businesses, and I'm really passionate about this, and I have been for almost 20 years now, ever since I sort of exited my corporate job in sales because I was so unfulfilled. Essentially, my soul was dying, and then I found a way to reconnect with nature and a way to start my sort of healing journey and to focus on the solutions instead of all of the things that I didn't want to see in the world. So I think it's really important that we start producing some of the things that we are going to need forever as long as we exist as humans on planet Earth in a way that is good for planet Earth so that we can give an ecosystem, a food system, a society to our children better than we found it.
Yes, well said. We completely agree with you. And I think what you just described, the process that you went through, you left the corporate world and you decided to live on some property and then live closer to the land and use it to help produce food, but also to live closer to your own values, it sounds like, which are, you know, being really fully human, mm-hmm. you know, not just being a Borg in a corporate system. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I often think that it's amazing how hard I've had to work just to try to be a human on planet Earth and to remove some of the constructs that have been sort of placed around me. And I'm still working on it, quite honestly, even though, you know, my whole life is about helping other people live more regeneratively. There's still elements of my life where I'm working on getting more in alignment with how I want it to be and how I want it to be for my family. And I think it's kind of a never-ending journey just because things slid in one or two generations. Things slid so far from having a relationship with nature and meeting our own needs to relying on all of these constructs.
Yeah, exactly. And I think right now there seems to be a lot of reckoning, a lot of waking up among people who do want to do what John Bush talks about. They want to exit the system, the traps, and they want to build. They want to build a better future. They want to build a system for their children. They want to build sustainability, redundancy, decentralization. And your company, as I understand it, helps people do that. Is that, I mean, you offer consulting? Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, I really like to help people figure out the vision initially, as well as then we can create an actual master plan design where we break down each individual design element and we figure out how they're going to tie together. Once we have a plan that everyone's on board with that's good for the people, good for their goals, good for the land, then we can do a detailed budget spreadsheet. We can phase it out, break it down, figure out the order of operations, help them build it, help them learn how to live inside of that system, how to be a part of that system, and get the feedback from that system and then iterate on it and make it better and better over time.
Well, that sounds okay. That sounds perfect. So a typical client of yours, is it somebody who already lives in a neighborhood or on a small plot and they just realize, hey, I need to make this place useful. I need to do something more meaningful with my land and they come to you? Is that usually what it is?
Yeah, typically our clients are living a little bit outside of the city. We work in a 2-hour radius around Austin right now. And we have done a lot of work in the city as well. But as we've started to grow as a company and grow our capabilities, we've started to focus more on homesteads that are on 1 acre plus. In some cases, we're working on a 1,000-acre ranch or, you know, all sorts of different contexts and scenarios. So it's pretty fun because we're always learning and we get to do cool things like, you know, have heavy equipment and work with tractors and seed, you know, 200 acres at a time. And so it's kind of fun to push the edges of what we can do for people.
When I had, I don't know who it was, a specialist in conservation, I guess, came out to my ranch here in Central Texas 10 years ago. And he saw all the coastal grass that we have there because it was a former cattle ranch. Mm-hmm. And I had to fire him because he told me I should spray glyphosate on all the acreage to kill all the grass and start over. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not spraying weed killer on this entire thing. Give me a break. Yeah. There's a lot of bad information out there from more conventional angles. They like to use a lot of 2,4-D and a lot of poisons on everything. But what's your philosophy on that? How do people reform their property without using all these chemical inputs?
Yeah, well, I think anytime that we're choosing to go to war with nature, we're choosing a war that we're going to lose and a war that hurts ourselves because we're part of nature. So I think we need to avoid that at all costs. And I think if you have coastal Bermuda and that doesn't work for your plan, you should change your plan. And you should make that resource work for you. And you should find a way to go with the flow, go with the natural process rather than to try to go to war with it and start over. And nature's evolving. You know, you can say, oh, that's invasive. That doesn't belong here, this or that. But nature doesn't care. You know, nature's evolving and changing and it'll find a way. But it's a matter of, can we get where we want to get in our lifespan? Because yeah. If you just leave it alone for 1,000 years, nature's going to do its thing and it's going to become a climax ecosystem again. But we need to do it in a human lifespan so that we can enjoy it.
Well, I found just like leaving my property alone for 10 years, the number of food sources that just spontaneously emerge is astonishing. Mm-hmm. You know, from the dewberries to the wild onions that the hogs eat, to the acorns, to the cactus fruit, on and on. And I haven't even planted anything. All I've done is just not poison it for a decade.
Yeah, you just start learning, well, what can I actually eat here? And it's fascinating when you start going down that rabbit hole. Every single plant has a function. It has a medicinal use. It plays a role in this complex web of life. And so I think in some ways we need to learn how to work with the land, but in some ways we need to just learn what it is in the first place and what's going on with it and how do we start to just walk the land in a way that is beneficial to our health.
What's your company's website?
SymbiosisTX.com. That's SymbiosisTX is in Texas.com.
A full service, I'm reading from your brochure, a full service design build firm specializing in holistic land regeneration projects in Central Texas. Do you offer any kind of consulting remotely to people?
You know, at this time, I really choose to focus on Central Texas because we've got a bunch of different bioregions here. And I stay plenty busy just working in this area. And I really like to be able to build the things that I design and the things that my team designs so that we can learn from actually bringing these things into reality and seeing how they function. I think if you're just doing the design and then you don't build it, it's really hard to learn what you've done right and what you've done wrong.
Yeah, good point. Do you have photos on your website? People can see some of your success stories?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. There's lots of photos up there on the website and we're always working on it. So please visit again in the future because I'm in the midst of getting some really awesome new content up there.
Okay, that's great. Well, we look forward to it. Thanks for spending a few minutes with me here. Really appreciate what you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Michael. And again, the company is Symbiosis and the website is SymbiosisTX as in Texas.com. I got that right.
You got it.
Okay. As long as people can spell Symbiosis, it's all going to be good.
It's a
yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening, folks. Mike Adams here, Brighteon.com. And get into this. This is what's going to keep us alive. This is human civilization. If you don't protect the land, if you don't learn how to grow food and live closer to nature, we have no future. So be part of our future by building it. And this is how you do it. Thanks for listening. Take care.